After kicking off its season last Saturday with a jazz concert by Joshua Redman and Brad Meldow, the Fontana series continues this Saturday with a classical pianist on tour from his home in France. Very well known in his native country, this pianist has recorded the complete works of Maurice Ravel and an album of Schubert. On Saturday, he'll perform Ravel in the first half and Schubert in the second. I spoke with him a few days ago.
My name is Bertrand Chamaillou, but you can say Bertrand. It's okay if you don't manage to say the R in the French way. So it's Bertrand Chamaillou.
One of the first things I did today, when I realized I would have a chance to talk to you, I went to Google Maps and I found Toulouse, and I think you must have grown up in one of the most beautiful regions in the world.
I don't know, but this is for sure a beautiful region, definitely, and a beautiful city where I don't live anymore, but you know, I'm very attached to this place. I mean, we call that the pink city in France because it's made with the pink stone. It's very special.
It is closer to Spain than to Paris.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really close to Spain. Actually, when I was a kid, I was a lot going to Spain, actually, because it is only 1 hour drive. So I feel very close to this mentality. It's kind of a sunny place. I mean, really different. I live in Paris, which I love. I really love, but completely different mentality. Something completely, it's almost another world, even if it's only 1 hour flight.
This is something I know about Maurice Ravel, whose mother was from the Basque region.
He was born actually in Basque region, which is actually, Basque region is shared between France and Spain. And he was born in the French part and in a place called Cibou, which is a little village, completely sticking another village called Saint-Jean-de-Luz, where actually I have spent all my holidays when I was a child. And I have now a flat there, an apartment. And when I have free time, I go there. Actually, my flat is located 200 meters from Maurice Ravel's birth house. Can you imagine? So I know perfectly well this place. And it's something very special. It's very kind of a place where Basque people are very much independentist in a way, but it's a mixing of French and Spanish culture. That's why Ravel has wrote so much music influenced by Spain also.
So he grew up in a very similar place that as you. Of course, I bring it up because the first half of your recital on Saturday is all Ravel. So he must be a very important composer to you.
Absolutely. Actually, for different reasons. Of course, there is this kind of similarity, of course, of the place where we were born and the landscapes and this kind of South French spirit, but also the story when I was a kid is really one of my very first love. I remember when I was a kid and I was the first composer I loved was Beethoven, but very, very quickly I had an attraction for 20th century music, and especially this period around Stravinsky, Ravel, Debussy. And the first, very first one composer I have, very first music of 20th century I've heard was by Maurice Ravel. And a friend of mine had the score of the very first piece I will play on Saturday, which is called Jeu d'eau. It means, you know, water play. I first seen the score and I've when I was 9 or something like that. I've never seen something like that, because even if you don't read the music, the music is like a painting or a drawing, and you can see almost the waves or the fountains or the rivers on the score. So I was really fascinated by all this universe, and it's very deep and very, because it comes really from my childhood. It was really one of my very first love, and so I have played this music all my childhood, when I was a teenager, and when I was a young professional, when I was 20, 25. And so this year I've released an album with this complete works, because this is something that I'm working on for almost 20 years, actually.
Oh, my. Do you come to North America very often?
Actually, more and more. I came a little bit. I started a little bit to come. I have played in New York in the Mostly Mozart Festival, for example. I came back in the Lincoln Center and I've played a little bit in Cincinnati with the orchestra and in Indianapolis. But this is really the first year when I'm coming, like 5 or 6 years this year. And I have also things next year with the orchestra in Detroit, in Seattle, in many different places. I will play in LA. It's really starting to move. You know, the car is something very weird, because it could be completely different from a country to another country. For example, in France, everybody knows me there. But if I go even in Europe, in another country, sometimes it's more difficult. And America, for me, North America, is a bit new. I'm very glad, actually, to come more and more, because I really love your country.
You focus on Ravel in the first half, and finish with Gaspard de la Nuit, which is such a challenging piece. How long have you played Gaspard?
Oh, the first time it was like 20 years ago. So, you know, it's really a piece that I grew up with. And I, of course, it's kind of work that you played and you let a little bit, you rest a little bit, and then you play it again. And this is like the fifth or sixth time I work again this piece. So it's kind of, it's really a deep feeling. And I'm very glad of that, because that kind of works when you really get to know it so well, you go to a different level. I mean, in a way that you feel the music in a more organic way.
A lot of the pianists that appear in Kalamazoo are often young and just out of school after intense study. And for you, that's been a little while since you studied with a mentor. But I know that feeling like you're learning is very important in the life of an artist. How do you continue to learn? How do you know that you're acquiring new skills and abilities and learning once you become a professional?
It's a good question, because you're totally right. And especially me, I stopped to have a teacher extremely early, when I was 21. And I really needed that, because I had great teachers, and especially my last teacher was Maria Curcio in London, which is a kind of famous for the pianist. She's not mediatic, but she was teaching Marcel Gerich and Radu Lupu and Pierre-Laurent Aimard, French film. And she was a great musician, but she really died when I was very young. So I did not have any more teachers. And I needed actually to stop to have teacher to develop myself, because I was a little bit shy at the beginning, I think. And I was really, when I had a mentor, I was really under him, and I needed to experiment by myself and to start to be really confident with my willings and ideas. But as you say, it's really difficult to know if you are continuing to learn something. Actually, I played again for somebody extremely recently, and I think now I need again to, but this is a different way, it's more like a dialogue when I play for somebody. Mm-hmm. But for more than 10 years, I have not played for anybody, and it's actually a good thing to do that, because I think I have learned many things also, not only directly on the scores and the thing like that, but also the way you live and you experience many things in life makes you... I was thinking at the same time, I think also what is very important is to continue to be creative and to learn new things, not only new music, but for example, I play a lot of contemporary music. I try to think about new projects, not necessarily fixed project. Like, for example, I could decide that I will play only recitals, concertos, and a little bit of chamber music in a very traditional way. But I try a little bit to think about all those things and to be a little bit creative. I commission pieces to composers and everything. And I think to learn something, my answer would be that to have the feeling that you're learning something is really to continue to be creative, and not to think that you have just to continue what you are doing. Just you need to continuously not break what you have done, but try to consider that what you have done is not necessary. Something that you will continue in the same way all your life. You need to. And I see all the careers that I have seen, all the pianists, all the musicians that I admire at the end of their life have been continuously in a really a thinking process where they are changing all the time. And the others, I think, which are doing all the time the same, thinking that something is working with the audience, and so you don't consider to change anything, they are really going down, I think. So this is maybe what I'm searching for. Well, for example, if you ask me, what do you see for your life in 10 years, I would see, I don't know, but I would say, I don't know, but for sure not the same like nowadays, like today.
After intermission, you've left us with glittering, brilliant music by Ravel, and you're coming back with German dances, little tunes for the piano. I think this is quite a change around here.
Yeah, of course. No, this is completely a type of program. I do different things. Sometimes I do programs which are completely united. Also, I like also that there are things where the two parts are completely like black and white, you know, two different things, sun and moon, I don't know, and completely opposite in a way.
These are innocent folk dances.
Yeah, but in a way, it's something I don't play, you know. There is a cycle by Maurice Ravel called Valse Noble and Sentimental. I don't play that, but it's directly inspired by German dances, by Schubert, actually. Not that once, but yes, Schubert has composed in that way also little pieces called Valse Noble and other called Valse Sentimental. And Ravel has made a tribute to Schubert with a cycle of this German valses. So it's very funny that even there you can find a link. And it's a little bit innocent, but not so much. For example, the fifth dance is something extremely deep. It's very funny because this fifth dance, which is in the middle of this cycle, is very short, like 30 seconds, but it's as deep as the last sonata by Schubert. It's something very, very short and essential, you know. And this is something in between those dances. You will see. I mean, it's something like a little bit. It starts to be a little bit innocent, but then you go to the kind of mystery of Schubert's music. And Schubert is a composer. I mean, different than Maurice Ravel. When I was a kid, I really loved the Wanderer Fantasies, which I will play at the end of this program. But that was almost the only piece that I really knew. And I started to discover the impromptus and everything, every other pieces, a little bit the sonatas. But I was not so close to this composer. I mean, I love him deeply, but I started to really discover him later. So for me, when I started to practice this music, it was different. I told you that with Ravel, it's something very organic, very deep for me, it goes far away in my memory. For Schubert, it's more a little bit, we have an expression in France called chemin de traverse. It's a path. It's not the direct path, the direct way. I mean, it's like you go a little bit around. It's not that easy for me. And it was challenging for me to approach a little bit Schubert because it was not my really composer. And I really wanted to try to approach this music, which is one of the most mysterious music, I guess, the most magical music in the classical, the old classical music. And that's why I've done a project also with an album which was released 2 years ago. And my idea was to create a little bit a kind of Schubertiade soirée evening. And I wanted to create a program around Schubert where you can feel, even if it's not true and historically proved that he played exactly this program, which could create the feeling of that atmosphere, a very intimate atmosphere. Then this program actually is kind of a balance between those two different universes. It's really two different sides. But as I told you, you can even find the link if you want. This is not so far in a way.
You brought up a picture for me of Schubert himself, with his friends saying, "Well, do you like these little German dances? I'm sure you do." And then, just wait until I unleash my new wanderer fantasy on the crowd. That the impact is much different.
Of course.
It just sweeps you away. What a wonderful piece this is.
And yeah, absolutely. So anyway, the two parts are in common to finish with kind of extremely strong pieces with Gaspard de la Nuit and then with the Wanderer Fantasy.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Bertrand.
Thanks a lot.
I hope you have easy, safe travels to the United States. And where are you living now? Where am I talking to you today?
In Paris.
In Paris.
Yeah, okay. In my flat. So, yeah. I will take the plane on Thursday and join you in Michigan. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
What a treat. I look forward to it too. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.